I'm Phil DeLuca.
Sean Watson.
And Nate Burgess.
And we are Commanderin. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hello.
We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never, ever talk about three banned topics: religion, politics, and Hearthstone.
On that note, some of our listeners might want to add sports onto there after last week's episode.
Yay!
Ah, yes. Yes.
Can't make that promise, though.
Well, I think that whenever we have certain guests on, you're going to have to kind of lead and break the ice with sport talk. And maybe we'll do a little segment like, you know, sports talk, and we'll have to do it in a nice Texan accent or something.
I'm still impressed that the Englishman has to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I could talk about Ronda Rousey if you want.
I'm going to pretend I know what that is.
Dare we ask? Go ahead. What is it?
Oh, Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
She's an MMA fighter, former Olympic judo medalist, and she's very good at the arm bar, which is where she grabs your wrist, wraps her leg around your face, and then breaks your arm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She just made that nice, she said the nice thing on the tweeter.
Mm-hmm.
She says, listen, just because my body was developed for a purpose other than f***ing millionaires doesn't mean it's masculine.
Ah, oh, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's femininely bad boop, as boop, because there's not a single muscle on my body that isn't for a purpose, because I'm not a do-nothing boop.
Okay, I need to investigate this lady. She sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Speaking of Twitter,
remember to check us out. This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're going to shine a spotlight on the Invasion set. But first, we have a contest update. We've had a lot of entries. Everybody, thank you for entering. It's been fun reading your entries and then determining whether or not you're eligible for a pack or one of our fancy commander and playmats. And several people so far have gotten them all correct, but there's still time. August 14th at noon Pacific time is our deadline. So if you're hearing this for the first time before then, pause the podcast right now. I guess you want to go back to the last episode around 58 minutes in and listen to the card list. And for those of you who don't want to take the time to find our last episode, shame on you, but we'll repeat the clip at the end of this episode.
Surely they've all listened to the last episode over and over again, Phil.
Or they could watch it on YouTube.
Oh, they could watch it on YouTube. That's a great idea.
You're so smart.
God, Nate. Thank you again for putting all that up on YouTube. That's absolutely amazing. And we've got a lot of hits on that, too.
Yay!
In other news, we should be announcing special guests at the end of the week. So please join us on Twitter, Facebook, and the EDH subreddit. We'll tell you how to reach us on all of those surfaces later on in the show. All right.
Uh-huh.
We're all excited for our main topic. We're going to talk about the set Invasion. Specifically, now that we've had some, 15 years? We'll see how well these cards have held up, and especially the ones that play well in Commander.
Okay, so can I talk about this segment a little bit?
Go right ahead.
Do it.
Is this your favorite set, Sean?
Invasion? No, it's not. My favorite set is the Urza's Block, because I'm that kind of twisted bleep. But it is a set I discovered when I was going through decks the other day that I seem to run a lot of cards out of in a lot of decks. The reason I wanted to do this, I think we should call this section something, guys, because we'll probably do this for other old sets in the future. But I think we should call it, I don't know, the Time Twister or something. Or the Day's Undoing, if we wanted to be more modern.
You have to listen carefully, right? Because in the background, Nate will just very quietly throw something in. And whenever I'm editing the show, I laugh uproariously when I actually hear these. Because I'll see, like, it'll be while one of us is talking or a guest is talking. And then there's this little waveform on Nate. So I mute everybody else and I listen to Nate and I just start crying. It's hilarious. Sorry, go on, Sean. I didn't mean to interrupt the flow.
That's all right. So, when I was getting back into Commander after a long hiatus, there was obviously a lot of sets of cards between the Urza's Block and Return to Ravnica, which was when I started playing again. So I thought it'd be interesting to look at not an entire set review, but look at what the Commander or EDH relevant cards in old sets are. And I arbitrarily picked Invasion because it's an interesting set. And it was sort of midway through, just a little bit before midway through Magic's life cycle.
So later we can do like the Infect sets and the Phyrexian sets.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I'm into this
idea. I don't think we need to cover that.
I like this now.
Yeah, we don't really need to cover the Infect and Phyrexian sets, though.
So hopefully you'll find some use in this if you're interested in older sets and the building decks or getting into Commander. If not, it should at least be an interesting listen talking about cards you may or may not be familiar with. Maybe we can shed some light on something you've not considered or maybe even not seen before.
Old-timey reviews.
Also, in the future, we'll be doing a competition to get a third guest host for the weeks we do the Phyrexian sets, because Phil will be on holiday. Oh, sorry, that's a vacation for you Americans.
He'll be taking a personal mental health day.
Is that a thing in America?
Sometimes.
All right, there are enough good cards in this set that we each decided to name five with some honorable mentions. So let's start, Sean, with your picks, and then choose one of your honorable mentions, which, of course, has plenty of extra O's and U's in it. And then we'll move on.
Okay, so my first pick was a card you can actually use as your commander, which is Hannah Ship's Navigator.
Good card.
Hannah Ship's Navigator is an Azorius, so one white, one blue, a legendary creature. She's a 1/2. I believe she's a human, though the card I have is still just says creature legend. She has an activated ability, one a white and a blue, tap her, return target artifact or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. This is a very interesting card. It's if not the commander of it, it's certainly in many artifact or enchantment abusive builds. She's relatively cheap to put down. She can. I've seen her be the cornerstone of like a Mindslaver lock deck. So those of you that don't know Mindslaver, it takes control of an opponent's turn essentially for 10 mana. It's good.
Mindslaver locks are rude.
Yeah, people really don't like them, but I'm like, it takes a lot of mana to get going. It's not like a two-card combo, is it? If we were going to list every abusable or powerful artifact in the format, we'd be here till 2020, just naming cards. But she's a really good card. She's only been printed, I think there's just the Invasion one and a Judge foil. Is that correct? The Judge foil has beautiful art, but will cost you an absolute fortune in dollar pounds.
Yeah, it is beautiful art on the Judge foil, though.
But the actual invasion card art is a blonde-haired lady blasting a Phyrexian with a laser cannon, a wrist-mounted laser cannon.
Yeah, wrist-mounted laser. How cool is that?
Where'd she get that?
Well, clearly Dominaria had technology which was far beyond other planes.
Yeah, we'll get into that later when we get into my picks.
Oh, no.
We will, actually.
Don't say what I think you're going to say. That technology is not tainted. It's beautiful.
So, my next card is one of my favorite ever cards. Everyone prepare for a groan from Phil. It's Phyrexian Delver. This is a brilliant card. It's 3 mana and 2 black for a creature zombie. Yeah, they say it's a 3/2. When Phyrexian Delver comes into play, return target creature card from your graveyard to play, and you lose life equal to that card's converted mana cost.
Probably worth it.
Probably worth it. If only we had more than 20 life. Oh, we do. It's so broken. The hilarious things you can do with this card. The fact you've got a 5 mana recursion and it leaves you a nice 3/2 body. It puts it onto the battlefield, not the hand. Brilliant. I've used it for lots of things before. It should be in every black deck that's running a good creature base and has a graveyard sub-theme. Most black decks, both those things apply to.
I confess, there was a time, this was one of the first cards I bought when I came back, before I realized how bad the Phyrexians were. But in the latest Commander set, Commander 2014, for those of you, actually it's Commander 2013, there is a new version of Phyrexian Delver. It has everything, all the same abilities, just with different card art and no Phyrexian symbol. And so what I think they originally meant with this, and I believe this to be true, is I think the Phyrexian Delver is a creature that delves into Phyrexia to rescue creatures that have been corrupted by Phyrexia.
It looks pretty Phyrexian on the card art there.
No, the Delver is actually, on the original art, it's that little guy in the front.
No, it's not. It's actually not.
That is. That's the Delver.
It's not the giant Phyrexian digging machine that's churning up the ground.
That thing that's taking up 80% of the picture.
And that's right. That's right. Well, don't get me started on dragon lords and whatnot. So this guy is just coming through a Phyrexian portal, see? And he's like, what? Where am I? And he doesn't see the big giant Phyrexian machine behind
him.
You
mean the Delver?
That's about to try to ruin his day.
The Delver behind him.
That's the Phyrexian machine. He is actually the Delver into Phyrexia.
No, he's the Delvee. There's a Delver and the Delvee.
Phil, well, you know what? We'll just have to agree to disagree.
I'll accept your premise if you acknowledge that on Hannah Ship's Navigator, Hannah isn't the clearly Phyrexian lady with the laser cannon. Hannah is the giant tentacled and clawed beast, just slightly off frame.
No, why would Hannah Ship's Navigator be getting blown up in her own card?
But why would the Delver getting run over by a two-faced tank with spines?
What we don't realize is that the Delver is actually, like, in his former life, he was a monk. See, and so what we don't see...
Continuing a theme.
Oh, another terrible card.
My next card is 3 mana for an artifact. It's called Phyrexian Altar.
Yeah.
Now, it's an artifact. Sacrifice a creature, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Now, this is another card that Phil wishes he would run, but his strange moral code against the glory of Phyrexia probably doesn't let him.
It does not, actually. I'm sorry, but this card is over the line.
This one isn't an altar in Phyrexia?
No, it very much is, but it's very much used by Phyrexians. It's terrible. Look what's happening to that poor... blue guy.
He's one of the Metathran. God, going deep into lore now. So this card is, if you run...
Oh, going back to Hannah Ship's Navigator for a second. If you were a Phyrexian with multiple eye stalks, that would help you in navigating your ship.
If you were a Phyrexian. Also, you could have special robo claws that allowed you to turn the ship's wheel easier.
You know, the Therese Nielsen art very clearly establishes that Hannah is the blastee, not the blastee.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself these lies. Anyway, Phyrexian Altar. So, this is the partner of Ashnod's Altar. It's the cornerstone of several infinite combos. Goes into many decks. I abused the hell out of this in my Garve Guru of Spores deck. It allows you to create a token, then pay 1 mana to sack that token, to put a token. It allows loops. It's the only problem with it is it's only ever been printed this once, and it's super spendy. It's I don't know how many dollars it is, but pound wise it's about 20 quid, but worth every penny. And it gives you coloured mana, which allows you to do all sorts of broken stuff. So it should be in... If you just want to sack out of your deck to stop people controlling your effects and threat effects, etc., it's worth it. I wish I owned more of them. I only owned the 2. I really wish I had more. Yeah, I think the Altar of Dementia doesn't give you mana, but it's also a very good sacrifice outlet for doing bonkers things.
And that one mills by power?
It's the mill one, yeah. It's not an invasion card, though, but go check it out, gang. My card number 2 for this set. What's better than Phyrexian Altar, I hear you say? My card number 2 is Rout. This is a white sorcery for 3 and 2 white. Destroy all creatures, they cannot be regenerated. Or you may play Rout at any time. You could play an instant, so it has flash, if you pay 2 colours additional more mana. So... instant speed board wipe that has is a sort of modal, so you can cast it at sorcery speed for a discount. What's not to love?
Yeah, it's very good.
It's stopped me dying on numerous occasions. If you look at the 7 mana for a board wipe, which you can cast instant speed, you might think that's a bit much, but everyone plays Cyclonic Rift for 7 mana at instant speed to bounce everything on the table. So 7 mana at instant speed to destroy all creatures. I think that's pretty comparable.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, it's not the ultimate best board wipe, but I think the instant speed is very important there. But there was one in Theros that was an instant speed one, was there? Was it Fated Retribution?
Yeah, but it was terrible.
More mana, and it was triple white as well, which is, if you're thinking that's, it might have been 7 mana, but it was triple white. Triple white makes it just that little bit less costable.
Yeah. Do you prefer the conspiracy art to the invasion art for route?
I do prefer the conspiracy art. So the invasion art is, I think it looks too kind of comic booky.
This is Ron Spencer in his prime, sir. You take that back.
You shut your mouth. The conspiracy art has this beautiful picture of Elesh Norn, Grand Cenobite, standing resplendent, shining the wonderful light of Phyrexia upon all these filthy Dominarians, burning them away with the purifying Yawgmothian.
They're not Dominarians.
Yeah. They might be Wrath. What plane is...
Invasion Elesh Norn only existed on New Phyrexia.
Hey, she can planeswalk. I'm waiting for that planeswalker card.
These are holdout Mirrens.
Oh, okay. The ones that go beg for survival from Urabras.
Or squabbling Phyrexians from other factions.
That's true.
Because she says, her quote there is, "End this, what I seek is far greater."
All right, that seems right. Whereas the art on Ron Spencer's classic art, praise be his name, is some very strange looking Phyrexians blowing up what looks like a sort of Disney princess castle.
Yeah, that is actually Disneyland. They went there. And he sketched Disneyland in order to make that card.
Were they employed by Universal? Hey, guys, want to earn some cash? You want to earn
next
some
card?
Of that fat Universal cash? Right, so the last card, and I think,
what's your number one card? This is your most used card from this set?
Oh, absolutely. This is my most used card from this set. It's a classic in blue, the best color. Although I actually think that might be black now. It is Fact or Fiction. It is 3 colors and a blue. For an instant, reveal the top 5 cards of your library. An opponent separates those cards into 2 face-up piles, puts one pile into your hand. You put one pile into your hand, the other into your graveyard. That is brilliant. So
it is. It's an excellent card.
Shenanigans you can pull with this card. If you have a firm alliance with someone at the table going on, you can often just draw 5 cards for 4 mana at instant speed. So I need to kill this person. I want you to put these 5 cards into one pile and the other pile to be 0.
I think just on principle, even if we had whatever passes for a solid alliance with Demir such as you, I would still put a basic land in one pile.
Oh, as a token of...
Just as a token.
You can... Normally you get at least 2 cards, so... A mean trick you can do with this card is if you have a newer player at the table, you can ask them, or someone that doesn't know your deck at all, or is new to the format, or has only played standard, so they only really know cards from the last few sets, aren't really experienced. You can pick them as your targeted player, targeted opponent, and watch them struggle over what choice.
That is so cheesy.
It might be cheesy, but the amount of times you get... You don't just get 2 cards, you get 3 cards, including 2 of the 5 you wanted. You're like, huh, cheers. And it is good fun. It is good fun when you flip over 5 really good cards with it to watch your opponent just sweat it out, trying to work out what you want and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's a brilliant card, though.
It's been reprinted a bunch of times, but this was its first appearance, I believe.
Yeah, its first appearance is in Invasion, and it has been reprinted a bunch of times. The first copy I owned was actually from the Vault 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then Conspiracy came out, and I was a very happy person.
Yeah, it wasn't Conspiracy.
I mean, this basically does go into every... It should go into every blue deck. It's a 4-mana instant that pays for itself immediately.
Yeah, there's a similar card that's so powerful it's on the banned list. It's called Gifts Ungiven.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gifts Ungiven... Gifts Ungiven lets you dump 4 cards with different names into... you put 2 into your hand and 2 into your graveyard. Do you pick things that you want to reanimate? Yep. It's absolutely disgusting. it's got the downside of the cards all have to be different named cards. I mean, what a problem that is.
It's so abusable. It's wonderful.
And that's why it's banned.
So of your three honorable mentions, choose one now, and we'll talk about them.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
The one I'm going to choose is Planar Portal. It's 6 mana for an artifact. Pay 6, tap it, search your library for a card, put that card in your hand, shuffle your library. This is, if you're outside of black, this is extremely good tutor. If you're only in red, this is perfectly good tutor. I can actually hear Phil's and Nate's counter-argument to this card already coming, and it involves the word Three Wishes.
So why not use a Ring of Three Witches, which is one cheaper on each axis? One cheaper to cast and one cheaper to use.
It's not reusable.
It's not an invasion.
Yeah, but don't use it.
Why not use it rather than why not choose it for this list? I like the reusability of Planar Portal. I like the fact that to be honest, I'd run them both. If I had no access to black, I'd probably run them both because I'd be going for something in green for running big mana. Because, I don't know, I prefer to pay one extra for reusability. It is a hard argument. I'm probably wrong, but there's a little bit of me that goes, don't make my stuff stop working.
Yeah, that's true. It is reusable, but 12 mana. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, what's 12 mana? If you're running a Phyrexian Altar and have got a bunch of tokens, that's nothing. If only there was a card that gave him... No, it is expensive, and that's why it's only an honourable mention.
So you have anything more to say about your set?
I realised I've only picked cards from the Esper colours. I'm so predictable.
Well, yeah. I think you'll see that I actually follow true to type as well with... Well, no, I have one exception.
Oh, God, I just saw your first pick. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, but my number 5 pick is a card I have come to love. It is Sterling Grove. I believe you mentioned, Sean, that Sterling Grove was completely out of stock in all of the British Isles.
It was. It might be back in somewhere now, but I've not checked. This is a good card.
Oh, it's a great card. It's an enchantment for a green and a white, so a Selesnya, as it is becoming known. And the card text is, other enchantments you control have Shroud. They can't be the targets of spells or abilities. And for one mana, and bear in mind that's other enchantments, leaving Sterling Grove vulnerable.
So if I ever become a Magic the Gathering themed DJ, my name is going to be Sterling Groove.
Not MCL Hammer It?
That's my rap career.
Oh, okay.
They're very different. If I become a Magic rapper, can you be my hype man, Nate, and come on and go, versatility! Whoop, whoop!
Yeah, dog.
Artifacts.
Tap it.
And instead of a giant clock around your neck, you could have a giant, oversized, printed card version of Telling Time. I thought about this too much. Right, anyway, yeah, Sterling Grove, carry on, Phil.
But it's good that you're thinking Bant. So the other ability it has, because it only grants other enchantments you control, Shroud, it has one and sacrifice Sterling Grove in order to search your library for an enchantment card and reveal that card, shuffle your library, then put the card on top of it. So even though it's vulnerable, you can still sacrifice it as a last-ditch tutor for another enchantment. It's lovely card.
It's gross, especially when you... this and Privileged Position, Great Auromancy, which are also both white-green cards, both come down and make a Shroud lock on your entire board state.
I know this will come as a surprise and a complete shock, but all three of those are actually in my Karametra enchantments deck.
You, sir, are a filthy man.
I am a monster, but that's... I don't play Phyrexian cards, so
that's your number 5? Oh my god.
That's my
god.
Number 5.
It's only gonna get worse from here.
So this is why I have an Aura Thief in my blue decks.
Yep. I know. Now, it's when Aura Thief dies, it takes all of the enchantments, right?
It certainly does. Gain control of all enchantments on the table when Aura Thief dies.
Yeah, so all you have to do is make sure it doesn't die.
Yeah, if there's an Elesh Norn on the table, you can just cast him right into it.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit as well. So, Phil, what's your number 4?
My number 4 card My number four card is one that I actually just picked up a couple of copies of, so we'll start seeing it in my decks. It's Sabo's Web.
Sabo's Web.
Sabo's Web. It is an artifact for two manas, and when Sabo's Web enters the battlefield, draw a card. That's pretty good for two manas.
It's a cantrip. Yeah.
Oh, except each land, its second ability is each land with an activated ability that isn't a mana ability doesn't untap during its controller's untap step.
Very nice.
Arcane Lighthouse, all sorts of beautiful cards like that.
Homeward Path.
Strip Mine, many, many utility lands, including, the Trample lands, yeah, right? What, Scarg?
Scarg the Scarg Rage Pits Pit. And Kesig Wolf Run.
Yeah, Rage Pit.
Kesig Wolf Run. The classic.
Yep. So, that's a pretty good card. I cannot wait to actually try it. Sabo's Web, obviously, is speaking to the technology that Sabo used after it's been converted to good.
So, in 2000 this was, wasn't it? So what version of Windows was Sabo's Web running on?
Yeah, it is a World Wide Web.
Sabo's kind of ugly looking in this card art.
Yeah, I was going to discuss Sabo's artwork generally, not just this card.
Legolas has got a headache and Liam Neeson is screaming.
It does look like Liam Neeson.
That's great.
So Qui-Gon, great. Legolas, and I know it's meant to be Gerard, but it looks a bit like... Oh, that is Legolas. No, it's not. That's Liam Neeson. Who's that on the top? Looks a bit like...
I don't know.
So Sabo, the character. So she's got a nice
Yul
legend.
Brenner.
I love Westworld. It's one of my favourite films. So Sabo is a really badly designed character. And I don't mean her card, because it's an interesting card. We might talk about it in a bit. But her artwork, she's got these two sort of strange black lines coming off the side of her mouth. And she's completely bald. And it makes her look a bit like the Flash Gordon character, Ming the Merciless.
Well, that's Phyrexian oil coming off of her mouth.
It's always in the same place. If that was half a centimetre up, it would look like a sort of Fu Manchu moustache, and she's got those weird painted pointy eyebrow or eye makeup things. It just looks like...
Yeah, the eyebrows does kind of... clinch it for Ming the Merciless.
And when your lead antagonist in your story arc is a robo spider Ming the Merciless woman, it loses something, I think. Would it not have been creepier if Sabo was just a complete Phyrexian agent, but just looked like a normal human?
She's Rakdos.
She is Rakdos, that is true.
7/4, first strike protection from legendary creatures. How did Gerard manage to kill her then?
I don't know, it's Gerard, so he probably flew the Weatherlight into her face. We should ask Wedge at the Mana Source. He'll get there eventually on his lore series.
Let's do that. We'll do that on Twitter. So those of you following us on Twitter will probably have already seen this question. Okay, so Sabo's Web, that's my number four pick. My number three is also a card that I picked up fairly recently, and I think it's a good deterrent for those of us who play with legendary creatures. I want to read the flavor text first. Above the waves, you may be mighty indeed, but down here, you belong to me. That's right. I'm talking about Empress Galena for 3 and blue. You get a creature, probably a merfolk.
She is a legendary merfolk, yeah.
The legendary merfolk. She's a 1/3. 1/3, you ask?
For oh, 5 wait. Mana, that's great.
For 5 mana, 1/3, all right. But for blue and tap her, gain control of target legend or legendary permanent. So it's actually gain control of target legendary permanent because, hello, Jack. Because as we
they
know.
They changed it, yeah.
Yeah. And now it's a super type. So all those legendary lands, Urborg and the like, you can now take them. With Empress Galena, who is holding the squirrels of the sea.
The squirrels of the sea.
What are those?
Those are baby seals. They're baby seals.
Oh, baby seals, yes.
She's got the club in her hand.
Yes, she does. She says, come to my side or the baby seal gets it. Yeah, because she's not kidding. She is not kidding around. She will club that baby seal to death.
This one's next. The little baby seal just behind her. If you look into his eyes, he's saying, please don't upset her.
Yes.
She'll do it to me as well.
If you do upset her, please only upset her once.
My brother, he was worth the kill. I'm cuter now.
I
would start a Kickstarter, and I'm sure people would pay into it, Phil, for us to pay for you to enter the Macy's Day Parade, being led down the street, riding a giant conch shell, dressed as Empress Galena, with two seal pups on your waist. I'd watch that.
Do you think they'll let me?
No.
Oh, they would.
Well, how much does it cost to get into the Macy's Day Parade?
You wouldn't get past the background check.
So true.
They find out your old identity was some Cuban revolutionary. That explains the beard.
Yeah. And the handlebar mustache.
Olé. You probably want, if you're running Empress Galena, you probably want to run Sabo's web as well to shut down the inevitable homeward path that's going to be coming your way.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Of course, after it's been used for mana.
Now, Phil, I've just looked ahead in time to your next choice, and I just say, I'm so proud of you.
It's a great card, and I started using it a while back in Mimeoplasm, because it serves Mimeoplasm oh so well.
yes, it does.
And so my number two card from Invasion is Spinal Embrace, an instant for 3 and blue-blue-black. It's a Dimir card, and you can only cast Spinal Embrace during combat. Untap target creature you don't control and gain control of it. It gains haste until end of turn. At the beginning of the next end step, sacrifice it. If you do, you gain life equal to its toughness. It serves Mimeoplasm so well. I enter combat. I cast Spinal Embrace. I'll take the biggest creature that's not indestructible. Actually, it doesn't matter because I'm sacrificing it. I'll take the biggest creature. Throw it at you. End of turn. If I don't have another use for it, I'll simply sacrifice it. And then the Mimeoplasm will take it the next turn. Glory be to the Mimeoplasm.
Yeah, it's a good card, Mimeoplasm. Spine Embrace is really good. It feels very red. It's a red effect, a threaten effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's similar to Grab the Reins.
Yeah.
Yeah, only difference is Grab the Reins doesn't give you any life and cost an additional mana once you've entwined it.
Yeah, and you don't get to smack someone with a creature before you sacrifice it.
Oh, no, you do grab the reins, because you grab one creature, but you sacrifice a different one to the one you've grabbed.
Oh, okay.
So you double-dome someone. This is an instant, though. Spinal Embrace is a sorcery? Grab the Reins is a sorcery, I believe.
No, it's an instant.
Oh, is it? Okay, anyway, let's talk about Spinal Embrace, because it's Dimir, so automatically better.
Just the value on this is incredible.
6 mana, you get a bunch of life, you get to kill an opponent's creature, possibly 2, because you can... It doesn't say... Because we're playing a multiplayer format, it doesn't say you have to grab one of the person attacking you. You can use this defensively, sorry, I should mention. Someone attacks you, you grab Keith over to your left's big creature, block, kill their creature, then sack it out, the one you've stolen. It's double removal, it's like 2-for-1, plus life gain. It's so good.
It is so good.
Yeah, I sometimes have it in Jaleva decks.
It's does it not waste
all right
Jaleva decks? Does it not whiff because you've already attacked when you cast it off of her?
Well, you have to cast it during combat, and Jaleva gets her a free spell during combat.
You can also do it at during the combat end step.
Well, you don't get to attack with a thing you just grabbed.
Ah, right, okay. So it's just a hero's downfall, though.
But you could grab a flying blocker and then sacrifice it.
That is true. I like the artwork on this one because it might be the only example of any magical artwork that has a middle-aged bald man fighting something from the Matrix on it.
And it's like a baby worm curl engine. It's like after it's split, maybe it splits again, and then this is what you got. This is what you got to fight.
I'm presuming this is the Death Touch one.
This is the spinal implant that runs up and down the back of the grabbed person.
Yeah.
The enslaved person, I should say. And you can tell that I think it's the thing that's digging into his arm is the part that goes on the head.
Yeah. I think one goes up the head, one goes into the base of the spine. So Vorthos fans out there, I want to see deck lists, which theme is bald fellas. Or you can have bald ladies as well, if you want to run a Angel of Despair.
Or Sabo Tavok.
Yeah, or Sabo.
All right, and my number one pick sees more use than any other card, except perhaps Sterling Grove, and is always in the same deck as Sterling Grove, is Aura Shards.
I hate you.
For one and a green and a white, another Selesnya card, an enchantment, whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment. That's right, so in any token deck, every time a token enters the battlefield, or if six of them do, that's six that you may destroy. Six enchantments or artifacts that you may destroy. This goes right into Marith. Too bad about Ulasht. Can't play it. But green and white aren't really known for token decks, so it doesn't... Wait a second.
Surely, Phil, this card is a mythic rare, yeah?
Actually, Sean, it's only a rare, and please don't call me Shirley.
It was originally printed as an uncommon, Phil.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. What art was I just looking at?
God knows. But in Invasion, this was printed at uncommon. So I'm not saying that this set was overpowered, because I don't think it was, really. But back in the day, R&D sometimes didn't quite realize what they were playing with when they were designing things. So this was in the era as well where creatures weren't that powerful. They were... I mean, obviously there were some good ones, but it was all about spell-based decks. And this uncommon is just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
This was the card that inspired us to consider a segment called What Would They Be Reprinted Now, right? What rarity would they be at if they were reprinted now?
Yep. This would be as an uncommon, it does mean
that Aura Shards... If it were in a base set, it probably would be. It was reprinted as an uncommon in the... Commander set from 2011.
Wowzers. Just wowzers. So, as a dedicated Dimir player, if I'm not using my Esper crutch, which I sometimes use, or my green crutch, which is my Sultai crutch, this is a problem card for me, because I run a lot of artifacts and enchantments to try and dominate the board. So as soon as Aura Shards hit, I have to throw myself at the mercy of another player to disenchant this, or hope that other player is also using a lot of good artifacts and enchantments, and just bide my time until somebody inevitably return to dusts it or exiles it somehow, or destroys it somehow. Because it's a pig of a card. It's just it's up there with Doubling Season and Mirari's Wake as cards which, when they hit the table, it's like I have to deal with it. And Cathar's Crusade. Notice the theme of all these big enchantments is they're all white, green, or both. Is I've got to deal with this, or somebody's got to deal with this, or the game's going to end out pretty fast.
Yeah, I run this in Reaper King and Caridor.
I run it in Garve because it turns Garve to one mana, destroy target enchantment and creature, and create a 1/1 spore token.
I mean, really, what you're talking about is you run this in any green and white deck.
I can't see why you wouldn't.
Right. My honorable mention is Artifact Mutation. I'm staying away from the Aura Mutation in order to branch into another color, red. So red and green, an instant, destroy target artifact. It can't be regenerated. Put X 1/1 green Sapperling creature tokens into play, where X is its converted mana cost. So if there's a pesky artifact giving you trouble across the board, you destroy it, and then you get the Sapperling tokens. You're probably already running a token deck, and so you can take advantage of those extra 5 or 6. So it's artifact removal for 2 mana, plus a bunch of tokens.
Nate, what's the first one on your list?
My number 5 pick is Void. 3 colorless, Void. 1 black, 1 red, sorcery. Choose a number. Destroy all artifacts and creatures with converted mana cost equal to that number. Then target player reveals his or her hand and discards from it all non-land cards with converted mana cost equal to the number. Invasion? More like battle mech invasion, am I right? The art on the card is jarring because it makes me temporarily forget what game this is.
Pew, 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 pew.
Selective mass removal. So you look at your stuff, and you count some numbers. Then you look at their stuff, and you count some different numbers. And then you void one of those different numbers. So, Sean, why are we looking at a battle mech in a game of Magic?
So, in the Urza's block story, which was one of the preceding blocks to Invasion, Urza, the artificer, created a series of artifacts called the Legacy Weapons and installed them in a big flying ship. And they were powerful artifacts which could repel enemies, in particularly Yawgmoth and the Phyrexians. So I believe his battle suit, which is, if you haven't seen the artwork for this card and don't have the ability to right now, imagine a sort of huge battle mech with a domed face. It looks a bit like the Big Daddies from the computer game Bioshock, but in robot form, with a laser cannon.
It looks like it's got Chicken Walker legs.
He does have Chicken Walker.
The card is Power Armor, also from Invasion.
There is a card called Power Armor, which is a better picture of this card. And it has a massive laser cannon on top. And when I think Magic the Gathering, I think robots with massive laser cannons. But so this
or
is
maybe
a...
his knees are swiveled to the left, but his upper torso is swiveled to the right.
I think that's what it is, yeah. If you look at the card Power Armor, you get a different, arguably better angle of it. So this is a collection of all the legacy items put into one power suit. Basically, the Urza was building a Voltron-style battle mech, and he just rampages around the plane, killing Phyrexians for funsies in it, which is weird.
It has a satyr-like legs.
It does, yes. It has the double heel. It's very cool, but...
Yeah, it's not a chicken walker at all. It's a satyr.
So he's got, like, an extra hinge in his foot.
I don't know why it's called Void. Let's talk about the actual card and its application in the game. It's a one-use ratchet bomb that you don't have to tier up for. I think that's good. I run ratchet bomb. It's also Pernicious Deed does a similar thing, but sits down as an enchantment before destroying itself. It's in red and black, which is nice because they're not very good at destroying all permanents. It's very selected. Have you actually played with this card, Nate?
It's in Juleva.
Is it? Cool. I just must have never seen it. It's great.
It's cheap enough that I can hard cast it from my hand if I need to. There's usually better things in Juleva's spellbook, but sometimes there isn't.
I like it. It's Ugin does something similar, like Ugin Exile stuff. But he does everything below it as well. But he's at 8 mana. I don't run a lot of Rakdos decks, but I think this might go into it. You can also remember, you can pick the number as 0, so you can destroy all tokens on the table, which is good fun.
So a recent card with a similar effect is Displacement Wave.
2 blue and X, yeah. But this is just 5 mana, pick your number. So yeah, it's good it can destroy like Eldrazi, can't it? Because you just go, I'm going to pick 11.
Oh, you'd have to pick a non-indestructible 11-costed Eldrazi.
There's only one indestructible Eldrazi, and he costs 10.
Wait, does he?
Yeah. I'm sure he's 10. And she's the cheapest of the Titans. Kozilek's 11, I'm sure. I've probably got that wrong.
No, Ulamog's 11.
Oh.
So, yeah, so Void. We like battle mechs with laser beam tuning forks on their heads. Nate, what's your next card?
In the same vein as Displacement Wave, there is Washout, which has been reprinted. In this original card art, it looks like there's some angry dinosaurs, and there's a guy waving a staff in the background doing something. I like the newer art because it's got a nice architectural thing going on.
Well, that guy in the background is Teferi.
It's his staff. He's got the little weird flick tot staff. No, it's Teferi, because it's a bouncing spell, and Teferi's all about bouncing and phasing.
Well, speaking of bouncing, Washout is 3 colors and a blue sorcery. Return all permanents of the color of your choice to their owner's hands.
That's fantastic.
So it's another selective mass removal like Void. Allow me to explain. You look at your stuff, and you look at what colors you're using. And then you look at their stuff, and you look at what colors they're using. And then you choose one of those other colors.
Yeah, so...
I'm detecting a theme here in the cards you've chosen.
I wish that Washout was a instant. If that was an instant, it would be almost an auto-include in most blue decks.
It wouldn't be an almost.
And sometimes you want to bounce Juleva back to your own hand.
Oh, it's hard in Juleva, though, because three-fifths of the time you're sending a third of your stuff off the table, aren't you?
Well, depends on how many creatures and enchantments you have in your Juleva deck.
I suppose. You don't run many. Most of them are red, aren't they, your creatures? Dear. Yeah, so why is Washout not used more? Because if you look at the mass bounce spells, so Whelming Wave, Evacuate, the Washout itself, Cyclonic Rift, I think you normally see Evacuate and Cyclonic Rift before most of the others. Why is Washout not more popular? Because it's target, it doesn't do your stuff. Because that's why Cyclonic Rift is chosen, because it doesn't hit your stuff.
Right. Well, Washout could not hit your own stuff if you're playing like a mono blue commander. Basically, the more number of colors in your commander, the more dangerous it is on your own stuff.
True. I mean, I only use it with its other color, black, because that's the only color worth putting blue with.
White and green disagree.
The color line segment.
Yes, the color line segment. That's funny. Well, all right. So, Nate, what is your third card?
My number three, it's nothing flashy. It's straightforward. It's Quarion Elves, one and a green. Creature Elf, 1/1. As Quarion Elves comes into play, choose a color. You can tap it to add green to your mana pool, or you can tap it to add one mana of the chosen color to your mana pool. So it's a straightforward staple mana ramp and fixer for any multicolor elf tribals. There you go.
These are Vulcans, aren't they?
Look at those eyebrows.
Oh, all the Vulcans are designed after elves because of the eyebrows
true.
And the ears.
Yep. But these in particular, this is Sarek and who do Kirstie Alley play?
Elron Hubbard.
Yes. Yeah, so Quarion Elves, not a bad card. It is definitely, as you say, a staple ramper and fixer in elf tribal. So I guess we're going to be seeing a lot more black and green elf tribal now that Origins is out.
Yeah, with a Shaman of the Pack.
You bet.
My next card is Sapperling Symbiosis. Three colorless and a green sorcery. You may play Sapperling Symbiosis anytime. You could play an instant if you pay two more to play it, just like Rout. The main effect, put a 1/1 green Sapperling creature token into play for each creature you control.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just need to double your creature count, and sometimes you just need a fistful of Enter the Battlefield triggers for something like Aura Shards, maybe? And it's got that instant speed option for two colorless more. Yeah.
It's good. Mana Echoes.
Oh, God, I hate that card. So you say you've not seen this card played very much. This is a favorite of a friend of the show, Nick Jaragoski. He played this against me in more than one deck.
Oh, that's true, because he plays it in his Ulash deck.
It is in his Ulash deck.
It would go well in Gavi.
It would go great. I literally was just thinking, what would I drop to put that in? Maybe Stormherd. Stormherd's a great card. It's not an invasion card, so we shouldn't talk about it too much, but it's 10 mana to give you a 1/1 flying Pegasus for each point of life
because you don't want to wait. You don't want to pay that much mana. Yeah, it is a great card.
But you can get that much mana with Garve because you've normally got some sort of Phyrexian Altar out, for example. You can sack a load of your dudes and just go, hey, there you go. Sapperlings.
Yeah, if you're playing Ulasht or some other token deck with red, you could put Purphoros in there. Rith the Awakener could do that. Otherwise, you got Rhys the Redeemed, or maybe even Riku of Two Reflections, and Wart the Raid Mother for more of those Convoke
Marith.
Creatures. Oh, Marith too. What else we got?
Yeah, you could double this with Riku or with Wart.
Speaking of Rith the Awakener, plugging a friend's show, the Command Zone podcast, did an excellent episode on Rith, if you're interested
yes.
in that kind of token shenanigans.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
Yeah, if you're already on the doubling season and Parallel Lives and Craterhoof Behemoth plan, why not add Sapperling Symbiosis too?
I just put Craterhoof Behemoth into my Garve deck, actually. I had one in my trade file and went, why is this not in here? There's no good reason. That's a good card. In fact, listen. Add it to my shopping basket. There you go.
And not to be outdone. Oh, it's $3.
Yeah, it's cheap. Well, most of these cards are cheap, actually, with the exception of the Phyrexian Altar. I'm looking through everything that we've $16. Picked so far. Sterling Grove Confetcher, $5. Yeah.
That's another thing. When you come over to visit us, you'll have to make sure to order a couple of Sterling Groves for what we pay for in Monopoly money.
Well, I'm hoping to come when there's some sort of GP Vegas or something on, and I'm just going to bring a skip load of cash. And because Magic cards are more expensive in England, because we pay import and export tax on them. And
because you're an island.
We're not an island, we're the island. And yeah, it's just much cheaper in America.
Yeah. So, Nate, what's your number one card?
Now, my number one card, I haven't actually made a deck that includes this card.
You should. What?
But I'm just including it for the potential. It's Captain Sisse, 2 colorless, a green and a white.
Mm-hmm.
It's a creature, legendary human. I think it's a human.
She's a human, yeah.
You search your library for a legend or legendary card. Reveal that card and put it into your hand. Then shuffle your library.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great card.
So I think the reason that I haven't actually built a deck is because I think the games might become too predictable, because it is a tutor commander.
Yeah.
And every game you know what you're going to tutor for. You're going to have a plan. I'm going to tutor for this one first, this one second, this third. So in that sense, it's like the Sliver Queen that tutors a specific list of slivers in order. Any of the commanders that tutor for something else, your game plan is going to become kind of predictable and your games will play out the same way.
Right.
So I'm just including this card for just the sheer potential. You can make a Captain Selesnya good guy team. And it doesn't have to only work on creatures. You can do it on legendary artifacts like Akroma's Memorial, Bow of Nylea, Mirari, Chain Veil, Godsend, Pieces of Caldra. It also works on legendary lands, Gaea's Cradle, Corhaven, Nykthos Shrine to Nyx, Sarah's Sanctum. And then we get to the actual legendary good guys.
Good guy
creatures.
Good guys like Dromoka, Big Dromoka, Karametra, Trostani, Sigarda and the Angel Cats, Runetail, Kitsune Mascot, Gaddock Teague, if you're into that, and the ultimate good guys, Elish Norn and Vorin Klex. Like I said, the good guy team.
You don't want to play those cards.
Well, they're on the good guy team, so by definition, they must be good guys.
Oh, Elish Norn, you freaky Clive Barker-looking thing, I love you so much.
She looks like an 80s movie from the card art.
She looks like a white version of a Cenobite from... In fact, she's called Grand Cenobite. How have Clive Barker
Captain Sisse.
Oh, Sisse? She's got a good mullet going on there with a ponytail. She looks like she should be in the film The Lost Boys.
Or Ice Pirates.
Ice Pirates. I'd watch that film.
Yeah, I think that was Angelica Houston. That's Angelica Houston right there.
She's good. She's a toolbox. Is that the right phrase, isn't it? Where you have a bunch of legendary stuff in your deck which fixes problems, solves problems, and you go looking for it with Captain Sisse. So what other commanders tutor? Yes. So her...
Marilyn of the Mournsong.
Sidisi, Undead Vizier. You need to flicker it, but there's one mimic vat that you strap your commander to.
Oh, that's dangerous.
And then that. No, it's not, because if someone kills the mimic vat, it just goes back to your command zone.
Does it, though? Doesn't stay imprinted?
Yeah.
Well, because it goes from imprinted to exiled.
Yes, but if you kill the mimic vat, so the way you need it, you need a sacrifice out of that which Sidisi can be herself, because you can kill another creature to instant speed, strap another creature onto the mimic vat as it gets killed. Because when you unimprint the card off the mimic vat, it goes back to the graveyard.
But if you choose to imprint your commander and then you choose to put the commander back into the command zone, is it still imprinted?
If it's a hostile imprinting, say you try to imprint somebody else's commander, instead of exiling it or, you know, instead of dying, they just put it in the command zone and that happens before the imprinting can occur.
And someone destroys the mimic vat. Whenever a commander, your own commander, would go to the exile zone, you can redirect it to the command zone.
Right. So they could technically imprint it, but then when it's exiled as a result of imprinting, it goes to the command zone and it's no longer imprinted.
But what you can do is imprint your own Sadisi onto the mimic vat, keep creating new Sadisis and shooting themselves in the head.
But then your commander is exiled with a mimic vat. What happens if the mimic vat is destroyed?
Yeah, but it's imprinted with the mimic vat, which is different. You can't exist as an imprint and exiled at the same time.
The imprint ability exiles the card. And so then the question is, if once you allow it to go into the exile zone, and your mimic vat is destroyed, what happens? It seems like you lose the...
Looking up mimic vat rulings on the internet.
Here's what happens. You have the imprint ability is an exile ability. So when you imprint it, you're choosing to exile the card with the imprint ability. And so you're looking at mimic vat in particular for commanders, and that's what matters here. So... when your commander is exiled, you have a choice. You can allow it to be exiled, or you can throw it into the command zone. And by allowing it to be imprinted on the mimic vat, you're allowing it to be exiled. So the mimic vat is now imprinted with this exiled card that is called, let's say, Sadisi, right? So now you, for 3 mana, you start casting Sadisi, or dropping Sadisi and shooting herself in the head, and that's all well and good. Now the mimic vat goes away. That card is still exiled.
So it would be risk.
Because it's in the exile zone. Yeah, it's a real risk. It's a real risk. You need a Darksteel Forge to make sure that mimic vat doesn't go away with destruction.
Yeah, or, getting back onto the topic of mono black with Sadisi as the general, do you care that much that that general's gone? Because I presume your deck's running a ton of Tutor anyway.
Your deck may not be running a lot of Tutor.
Oh, it should do. If you're mono black, that's your, you have to play into your strengths because you've lost the ability to remove artifacts and enchantments. So you have to really build deeply into what you can do very well. So you should be running at least 10 Tutor effects in that deck.
Right. But that just speaks to Sadisi not being a good commander.
Oh, I don't think she's a bad commander. I think maybe she might not be the best target for a mimic vat, but she's a good commander.
In order to get the most out of her, you have to flicker her. And so mono black isn't going to have a lot of flicker. So you automatically want to include her in a blue-black or a white-black, or white-blue-black for most flickering.
I think black has its own kind of flicker, so I would put her into the deck and then Graveyard Recur and not ever send her back to the command zone. Because saying Sadisi is not a good commander because you can only get one use out of her because you can't flicker her is like saying Kokoshe is not a good commander when he blatantly is.
Well, right, but you're recurring Kokoshe.
Yeah, but you'd recur her as well, wouldn't you? You'd maybe even.
But then you're replacing the tutor cards with recursion cards.
No, you're getting both.
So you run three or four tutors.
No, you run 7, 8, 9, 10 tutors, and then you run reliable recursion in your deck.
That's a lot of tutors.
Because in my Kokoshe deck, I would run a bunch of tutors as well.
Right, that's a tremendous number of tutors. I don't think you're running that many tutors in a deck where the commander is a tutor. And 7, 8, or 9, that's all of the inefficient. I mean, they're horrible tutors.
I'm going to build this deck and show you why you're wrong.
At that point, that are worse than Sadisi.
And thanks to Captain Sisse, we learned about Mimic Vat and Mono Black commanders, such as Sadisi.
I'm sure there is a good Sadisi deck, but what I'm saying is it's not going to be as tutor heavy as you're saying, because she is the tutor and you're recurring her to bring
my
the
honorable
back.
Mention
Nate wants us to stop talking about this,
man. My honorable mention is Aura Mutation in the same flavor as Artifact Mutation. It does the same thing to auras.
Oh, excellent.
So the first time I had one of these mutation cards played against me, I started putting my tokens on the table, to which my opponent said, "What are you doing?" I was like, "We've destroyed my artifacts." I get, "Oh, you get the tokens? What? What? What craziness is this?"
Yeah. The first time this is played against you, it seems like a downside at first, and then oh no,
it's good.
So Nate, you mentioned we picked one of our listeners who gave us some feedback on this, right?
Yes, Russell at Rogue Artificer says, number one, Phyrexian Altar gets a spot simply because it's a combo engine. Number two, Obliterate, because red wipes are big and oppressive. Number three, Szabo Teyvok, because who doesn't love murdering generals on a whim?
And she has such an easy-to-say name.
Say it 5 times whilst drunk.
Szabo Teyvok, Szabo Teyvok, Szabo Teyvok, Szabo Teyvok, Szabo Teyvok.
Hey, Nate just admitted he was drunk.
Moving on, number 4. Watch out. Cheap mass bounce. Number 5. Shivan Harvest, sack outlet and land removal. Sign me up.
Yeah, I didn't know that card until I read this. So it's a red enchantment for one and a red. Pay one and a red, sacrifice creature, destroy target non-basic land. Oh. That's great. That's a fantastic card. Hang on. Shopping basket. Yeah.
And we should also mention the same here. Five legendary dragons, like Rith the Awakener. Is he from this set?
Yeah, he is, I believe. So there were five... there were 10 in total, but there were 5 in this set of the Shard and Wedges. So these were the Shard dragons that were all 6 mana to cast. They were 3 and whatever their Shard was. So, Nate, what does Grossus the Purger do?
Grossus the Purger. 3 colorless, blue, black, red. Creature, dragon legend, 6/6, flying. Whenever Grossus the Purger deals combat damage to a player, you may pay 2 black. If you do choose a color, that player reveals his or her hand and discards all cards of that color from it. I prefer Rith.
Mm-mm.
I think Krosis is one of the more playable of them, but yeah, he's not the best.
Sure. So Rith the Awakener, 3 and a red and a green and a white, so Naya, whenever Rith the Awakener, it's a flying, legendary creature dragon. 6/6, whenever Rith the Awakener deals combat damage to a player, if you may pay 2 and a green. If you do, choose a color, then put a 1/1 green sapperling creature token onto the battlefield for each permanent of that color. Why is that not in Marith?
It is now. Click.
Click, click. Along with Shivan Harvest.
Yeah, the cycle of these guys, because they were legendary dragons, they were popular at the time. A couple of them even saw some standard play, I believe. I'm not a big fan. If running them as commanders, I'm not a massive fan of a commander that has to deal combat damage to activate.
Yeah, and they're no 7/7s.
No, can't kill in 3 swings. I think if you could activate their ability when they attacked, they would be much better.
Yes, absolutely. I do notice that Rith the Awakener, the From the Vault Dragons version, does have antlers, a lot like the Atarka Brood.
Well, that'll wake you up. Getting poked by antlers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hold on, I'm purchasing a Rith the Awakener right now. Give me a moment. what are the other dragons in this cycle?
Darigaz, Rith, Treva, Dromar, and Krosis. And that's a collective term for the Dragon's Primeval.
Dragon's Primeval.
Wow.
Yeah. So... go read them. I don't see them very much.
So Darigaz the Igniter is 3 and a black, red, green, so he's Jund colored. Legendary creature dragon, 6/6, how about that? Whenever Dari and deals combat damage to a player, you may pay 2 and a red. If you do, choose a color, then that player reveals his or her hand and Darigaz deals damage to the player equal to the number of cards of that color revealed this way. You were like, Dromar the Banisher. 3 and an Esper. White, blue, black. Whenever Dromar the Banisher deals combat damage to a player, you may pay 2 and a blue. Well, 2 and a blue on combat damage, that must be an excellent ability. If you do, choose a color, then return all creatures of that color to their owner's hands. Hey, washout. That's pretty good. Oh, yeah. So creature-based washout. Good for murdering tokens, though. And then finally, Treva the Renewer. Oh, Bant, my lady Bant. She must have some awesome ability. 3 green and a white and a blue. Whenever Treva the Renewer deals combat damage to a player, you may pay 2 and a white. If you do, then... Wait, if you do choose a color, then you gain 1 life for each permanent of that color?
Wow, brilliant.
Wow.
Maybe you have a Felidar Sovereign strategy.
yeah, that's true. True. Or if you need to power up your Sera Ascendant again.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
But you would already be winning.
So as we were saying, Rith and Krosis, really, the only playable ones there.
Yeah, yeah.
Weirdly, the Wedge ones, the other 5 in that cycle, were much better. So I think Wizards did listen when people said, yeah.
Yeah, but that's another set review, though, isn't it?
That is an entirely different set review. We'll do another day.
Okay, do we have a visit from our Eldrazi friend?
Our show is over now.
All right, excellent. Our Eldrazi friend has made a surprise appearance, ladies and gentlemen.
Boo!
Get that tentacle away from me. It's not meant to go there.
We love to hear from you, so please take the time to contact us, folks. And especially give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It makes us feel better. We like to feel good.
Good!
Not the Eldrazi.
Never!
And we can point to it and say, hey, look at that, to the people who care about such things. The theme song you're about to hear after we replay the contest was created for the podcast by Nate Burgess. Thank you again, Nate. It's wonderful. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto. Awesome, awesome Mr. Picto, with assistance from Kelly DeLuca. You can find more art from Mr. Picto by going to mrpicto.co.uk. And special thanks to our tech whizzes Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going to our website at www.commanderandmtg.com. Our email address is cast@commanderandmtg.com. On YouTube, awesome. On YouTube, you can find us by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy that we have a YouTube channel. Thank you again, Nate.
Let your eye stalks consume the media on YouTube.
On Reddit, we're Commander and MTG, and we'll be in the EDH subreddit if you can find us. On Facebook, we're Commander and MTG Podcast, and on Twitter, we are at Commander and MTG. Individually on Twitter, I'm at Ketjack.
I am at Copain26.
And I'm at Mr. Plorg.
Well, that's awesome. I wonder if we'll see any surprise appearances by the Eldrazi or the Lock Lord.
Oh, he's coming.
Yeah, I know. I cannot wait. Anyway, had a great time. I'm going to replay the contest clip now. Why is this so difficult? I have no idea.
Phil, remember we spoke about this. Use your words.
Use my words.
Big boy indeed. Words now.
Okay. Say bye, everyone.
Bye. Toodlepip.
Feelings make animals tastier.
Ach, I'll be seeing you next week, laddie.
It's good to be excited.
Yes, so this voice recording...
Right here.
We are going to be opening magic cards.
Yes, that's right, we are.
An entire box full.
Well, not an entire box full. Not right now, at least. Hold on.
I want to open it now.
So what we're going to do, everybody, is based on the rules that we've already described...
I want kettle corn.
I'm recording this with my daughter, and this is my daughter.
Yes, yes, yes!
And what's your name?
Jessica.
Great. So now Jessica's going to open a pack of magic cards. And
yes. Oh, can I open it now?
Okay, go get a pack of magic cards from this Magic Origins box. And now you have a pack. What's on the pack?
It is a elf archer, which I actually have that girl.
It's Nyssa, yeah. Now here's what we're going to do, Jess.
We are going to open it, and I am going to...
You're going to list... Say. You're going to describe how much it costs to cast... And then each card, what are you going to do one at a time?
I'm going to describe them.
You're going to describe the magic, the spell cost, and the picture. And you don't have to be very precise about the picture, but just enough so that our listeners can kind of guess at what they are.
I'm having trouble.
Yeah, be careful. Don't mangle the cards.
So the first one has 2 ghost pieces and 1 sunlight. And it's a glowy ghost. Not glowy ghost, but our ghost is things.
Use your words, Jessica.
Papa. Okay, you describe that one.
No, I'm not going to describe them. So that's the first card.
It's somebody summoning ghost arms.
Oh.
That's the best I can do.
All so right.
The next one is... 1 ghost piece and 1 skull shard, and it's some warrior having not showing his front side with a knife. Mm-hmm. So that's the second one.
Okay, the third card.
Oh my gosh, that is ginormous compared to a human.
Alright, do the...
It is five ghost pieces in one tree branch, and that is disturbing me.
What is it?
It has a lot of eyes with a tongue that has claws.
Alright, very good.
That is the creepiest picture I've ever seen.
Card number four.
Two ghost pieces, one to drop, some guy holding a mirror amulet.
Okay.
The next
card
one.
Card number five.
Is four ghost pieces, one sunlight, a bunch of warriors. Because it's a bunch of warriors.
Okay.
The next one is one ghost piece with a golden robot pet. Some guy's robot pet. The next one
next
is
card.
Three ghost pieces and one fireball. It's some warthog with spikes on its bag. It's giant.
Okay, next card.
One ghost piece and one skull shard, some guy turning into smoke.
Hmm. Okay. Next card.
One do drop a fairy.
Wait, say that again. They may not have heard it.
One do drop a fairy.
All right. Next card.
Three ghost pieces and one tree branch.
Yeah.
Wolves.
Okay.
Wolves. Next one is two ghost pieces and one fireball. Electricity to robots.
Okay.
The next one is six ghost pieces. That is a very pretty lamb.
A lamb?
I'm calling it a lamb. With wings. Giant wings. A golden lamb with giant wings.
Next card.
Three ghost pieces. A book.
Mm-hmm.
A book.
Okay, and the last card.
No, not the last card. There's still more.
Oh, yeah, okay.
One ghost piece and one sunlight. A castle. Ruins. Castle.
A castle ruins?
A castle of ruins.
Okay.
A land.
Yeah, what kind of land?
A fire mountain land.
And that's an ad card.
And then an ad card. That is all of them
in
that pack.
That's great. And so, now if this were your YouTube channel, what would you say? Because it
comment, rate, subscribe, and bye! Boop! That's what I would say at the end of my videos. Yeah.
All right. Good luck, everybody.
Bye-bye. I'm walking away now.
Show is over now.